He didn't have to let me be grafted into his vine, but he did. And I think about John 15, and I start thinking about, you know, he's the vine, we're the branches. And I'd like to take a moment and thank the Lord that he allowed us, who were cast out, to be grafted into his vine. He did not give up on us. He did not throw us away. He provided a way so that we might be reintroduced to the place where he intended for us to be all along. Remember the gospel story. You know, Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus rose again, and all those things have implications for us. That's the gospel message. Well, the way we live the gospel life is being connected, grafted into the vine, to receive the nutrients, to receive the sustenance, everything that we need spiritually, mentally, physically, comes from Jesus Christ. When I prayed a moment ago, I prayed in the strong name or in the powerful name of Jesus. And we have the right to pray that. It's not a magic incantation or something we use. But we say, Lord, you have the power I don't. And according to what we read in Scripture, we have been given the right, or the authority even, to come and use your name in order to receive from the Lord. Mark, in the book of Mark, when Jesus is around the fig tree, we see it in Matthew as well, and he curses the fig tree and it dies, and they come back later and they start talking about this, and he said, you know, you can, if you have faith, you can say in my name for this mountain to be removed, and it will be removed. You can do this. Now, where a lot of people get messed up, they start focusing on the you, meaning us, instead of it's his power. Being connected to the vine means we have his power. Well, anyway, John chapter 14, Jesus is talking to these disciples, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit and the things which are to come. And this is in the night of his betrayal. And he's, I am the way, I'm the truth, and the life. And he's promising the Holy Spirit. Then immediately after promising the Holy Spirit, he goes into talking about this vine. And then later in chapter 16, he comes back to the Holy Spirit. So sort of sandwiched in between is this teaching. And I can imagine they had finished supper. Maybe they were on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. Maybe they were in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there were vines around. And Jesus did what he always did. He looked at the world and said, let me take this analogy and tell you a little bit about me and the place from which I came. So this is a very important teaching. It's a very time-sensitive teaching. It's here they were, the Lord's Supper in the Garden of Gethsemane and the whole things that are taking place there. Now, I want to tell you a story. It's kind of out of the place, kind of funny, or maybe it's not funny, maybe it's corny. Maybe you say, Andy, you know, you got 10 stories. I've heard it before. And it might be that too. But there was a lady, and she was shopping, and she was an older lady, and she came out, and she found four men sitting in her car. And she pulled out her gun. She was, you know, she believed in Carrie, right? You know, I don't know. But she pulled out her gun, and she said, I want you to exit, you know, my car. And she said, I've got a gun, and I'm willing to use it. And they all got out of the car, and they skedaddled. And a few minutes after she got her composure together, she got in the car, and she could not start the car with her key. And she finally realized that she had the wrong car. And so she went to her car, and she drove immediately to the police station. She said, I got to turn myself in. You know, here I am. I was trying to steal somebody's car. I didn't mean to. And the policeman started laughing, and he pointed to the other end of the county, and there are four men scared to death. And they're saying, there's a lady out there stealing cars. You know? And the punchline is this: be sure to know what you own, or you'll be embarrassed when people start to question, do you really own this? Have you ever been in those situations? Have you ever been to a hotel? Do you get the hotel key? Well, sometimes they give keys or bracelets or whatever. You don't really have a key anymore. But, you swipe the key or you put it up to the door or something. And have you ever done that to the neighbor's door two or three times and then figured out, oh, I'm at the wrong door, and you quickly run to save embarrassment? We all have done that. Or picked up the wrong bag or something. So we understand this. So the principle I want to say, the first principle today is this, and this is really important, something that we don't, something I kick against, but it's simply this. Number one, the vineyard belongs to God. Now, if you remember nothing else, remember that God has allowed us to be grafted into the vine, and the vineyard belongs to the Lord. Jacob read the passage, but I'm going to read a few verses again. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. But focus for a minute. Our Father is the vine dresser. He owns the garden. And sometimes this goes against my grain a little bit. From the moment God issued the first of His Ten Commandments, He told us that He is a jealous God, a God that would tolerate no other gods. Now, let's sit there for a minute, go back to I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. And let's focus on that word, the. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I meant to put up the cover of Time magazine that is a very recent cover. Have you seen that? Is Truth Dead? Have you seen that cover? It's those last week or in the last couple of weeks. Is Truth Dead? And I wanted to put it up and say, no, truth is not dead. He rose again. The truth is not dead. He lives. He lives in us. He lives around us, you know. But the simple fact is, God is not a God that tolerates any other God before Him. Any other God in His presence. Now, obviously, in a garden, you're going to have a branch, and the branch does not always tell about the vine. I've been in the yard for the past two or three days moving border grass and so forth, and I mean, I'm sore all over. But, you know, I have pruned trees. And if you've noticed in Alabama, if you've just ridden down the road, I mean, we have conifers and we have evergreens that are dead all over the place. And we have a Leland cypress. We have two in our backyard, and I bet they're probably 25 feet tall. Huge. And one of them has the telltale sign of brown branches. Now, we see most of the ones up and down the street and on the highways are all brown anyway, but this one is starting to die. And how can we get the branches sawn off to try to save this thing? May not be able to save it. But when you see those telltale signs, you know something is wrong in the system. And the botanists tell us, not that I'm a botanist, but they tell us, it is not the drought that killed the tree, but the drought made it dry enough so that it was a great home for certain beetles that would come in and kill the tree. And, you know, I think about my life and I think about my heart. Am I connected to the vine, or am I a branch that is withering to the point that I make a great home for the beetles to come in and eat out the inside of who I am? Well, Jesus is the vine, and He has two main functions. And the first function is that He is the source of life. So if He's the vine, He is the source of life for us. I like the way Jesus puts this. You know, he even uses the word true there. Do you have the word true? You know, I'm the true vine. I'm not a fake vine. I'm not a vine that is a shoot that, you know, you might give a little life, but it's eventually going to die. I am the true vine. And being the true vine, I wonder at times, and I say, why would Jesus use this analogy? Well, being there in the garden, He's trying to teach them about the Holy Spirit. He's trying to teach them that it's not going to be just a military operation. This is not just something I'm teaching to you. You get 14 points down and try to do them. I want you to understand, guys, you know, if you use that word. I want you to understand, fellas, that, you know, we're doing all this. When I talk about breaking bread and I'm going to be in you, my blood is in you, I want to be in your DNA. I want to be inside, and I want your whole system to be pointed from the world to my Father. Go from this way to that way. Now, Matthew is one of the disciples that following the Passover meal, and Jesus and His disciples said they sang a hymn. So they sang a hymn. Can you imagine? They may have been even singing at this time. By the way, I thought it was interesting. We had sang a Love Divine. I heard a pastor, and Charles Wesley wrote it, has no kin to Methodism whatsoever. He says it's the greatest hymn ever written. And if you read those words, it is a fabulous hymn. great hymn of theology and talks about what the Lord did for us. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling. And I want him to dwell in me. And that is what the vine talks about. He dwells in us if we're connected to the vine. Jesus can walk up to the vine and tell his disciples, "You see this vine? I'm the vine." Now, have you ever been in the woods or around your house and had to cut vines that you wanted gone? You know, it's easy to snip little vines as they crawl up the fence line. But sometimes vines out in the wilderness, they get big and tough. And if you've ever cut vines and, you know, there will be a vine hanging there and somebody will chop the vine. And if you're hanging on to the vine, what will happen? Sometimes you fly off. I've had that happen to me because the vine is so strong. The vine has been there. It's taking over the tree. I won't ask for a show of hands, but have you ever had vines take over your fence? All the time for mine. You know, we have the most persistent little briar vines in our bushes. I mean, those babies, I go and I pull them out of the ground and they still come back. We fight every year over this thing. But I know this, I can go to the bottom and I'll clip them at the bottom and I'll laugh and I'll say, in a few weeks you'll be brown because you're losing your source. Everyone living in Jerusalem, even these rough fishermen who were among the 12 who walked with Jesus, knew that life flowed from the vine to the branches. A couple of verses, 1 John 5. And this is the testimony that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Let's kind of repurpose that a little bit here. Paraphrase that. This is the testimony that God has given to us eternal life. This life is in the vine. He who is connected to the vine has life. He who is not connected to the vine does not have life. Or Romans 6:23, you know the verse. For the wages of not being in the vine is death. But the gift of the Lord is being connected to the vine so that you have life and have life eternally. So if you take these passages, you start substituting the vine, you see it's real important to have the vine. So the first thing is, the vine is the source of life. Second, it is the source of fruit. Now this source which produces fruit ought to be pretty evident among us as well, because we're to produce fruit. We're to be fruit bearing. Who had fruit this morning? I had fruit and I had my spoon full of olive oil, yeah. But I had an apple this morning. And I love to eat an apple, and I cut up an apple and I put it on the table. And I asked Benjamin, do you remember what I asked you? What did I ask you? No, I didn't. I said, do you want cubes of vitamins? I said, would you like some vitamin cubes? You know, because it's so full of stuff. But you know, when I cut up that apple, I cut it, you know, in quarters. I'm very precise on the apples. And then what do I do? I cut out the part that has the seeds. And you can, you know, a little seed, but you know, seeds have cyanide in them and all sorts of stuff. And the seed I threw in the garbage. The seeds will be good no more. But if I were to take the seed and I were to put the seed in the ground, what would happen? And don't be quick to answer. And the answer is probably not much. But what if I let the seed die, then put it in the ground? Then we have something called germination, and we might see some fruit come from that. You see, the seed has to die before it produces anything, right? And I think about my life. I think about, where am I planting my life? Am I planting my life trying to get a little growth out of who I am? Or do I allow myself to die to Christ so that I can fully germinate and a new plant comes into being? I don't want the old plant. I want new plant. Well, we see this source of fruit. Can you think of which fruit that you eat that has the most seeds?
Watermelon,
oh yeah, man, dealing with watermelon, say, no fun. Love watermelon, it's so good for you, you know, but it has a lot of seeds. What about kiwi?
Strawberries.
See, the strawberries are covered with seeds. What's the little brown fruit? I can't think, is that kiwi?
Kiwi.
It's got fruit seeds on it. Now, sometimes you get an avocado, which is a fruit, right? You get an avocado, and it has one big old seed. And Christy's the best avocado seed taker-outer that I've ever seen in my life. She gets that egg, takes a knife, turns it, and there goes that seed. It's just an amazing thing to watch. That guacamole that follows is even more amazing. But, you know, you take the seed and you discard that seed, one seed. Or if you get an apricot or maybe a plum or something like that, you have that seed and you might even leave it in your mouth a while, but you don't swallow the seed. You discard the seed eventually. When we are planted, and here we are planted, the Lord has placed us, although I feel like I'm a person from the 1800s, He placed me in the year 2017 now. He placed me in the deep south in the United States of America. He's given me so many advantages. I've had, you know, the opportunity to have education. I've had the opportunity to not worry about food. I've had these opportunities. He's placed me here. And He said, I'm going to place you there. You produce fruit. And I can't produce fruit unless I'm connected to the vine. So I'm going to ask some questions. What does it mean to produce fruit? Is it producing fruit meaning obedience? Is producing fruit meaning bringing other believers to Christ? Is producing fruit the fruit of the Spirit? And the answer is yes, yes, and yes. Let me give you three passages here, or a couple passages. Matthew 7:16-18. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from both thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Now, obviously, that sounds simple, but a lot of people get this completely mixed up. They connect themselves to a vine that is dead. They connect themselves to a system that is dead. They try to graft into something. Try to graft into self-help books. They try to graft into all these things. And eventually they're going to have to go to another vine and another vine and another vine, because they'll never find the source of life in any of these places. What fruit are you bearing? Do you know the vine? Well, the second point is this. God wants from you as much fruit as possible. He really does. He wants to see fruit in your life. Or the way I put it here, God wants you to produce fruit. And He says here in verses 2 and in 6, there are branches that produce no fruit. Now it's interesting. I want to read the verses and let's listen to the words carefully. Every branch that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes that it may bear more. Drop down to verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Now we notice here a very key thing. Does it surprise you that there can be branches connected to the vine that bear no fruit? And it shouldn't surprise you, because you have dealt with bushes and you have dealt with trees. And you probably this year already, if you haven't done it, you need to do it. You've been outside and you said, that branch is doing no good. Clip. You're gone. You're out of here. And that is in a very interesting word picture here. Let's ask some questions. There are branches that don't produce much fruit, and there are branches that don't produce any fruit. If a branch does not produce any fruit, it is indicative of the fact that it is no longer gaining from the vine. It is no longer getting nutrients. Something has disrupted the process there. And He said, if you're in me, or if you do not remain in me, if you're in me, I'm going to help you produce fruit. If you don't remain in me, if you're just hanging on, then you're not producing fruit. You're not really in the vine. And a lot of people go around and they put on a name Christian. They put a bumper sticker on their car and they do all this stuff. Maybe they are active in a church and they know all the hymns and everything. They do all the right stuff. And they're just simply branches that have tried to connect to a vine without ever being grafted into the real, true vine of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the vine of church is not a real vine. The vine of bumper sticker is not a real vine. The vine of right-wing politics is not a real vine. Those are all positive things at times and maybe negative things at times. But the true vine is Jesus. Not do you know church, but you know Jesus. Not do you know all the hymns, but do you know Jesus? And that is the question we must not only ask ourselves, but ask the world. Do you know Jesus? Jesus said that the Father's desire is that all who are in Christ will produce fruit. Now, this is not a message to try to browbeat you into feeling so bad about your life that you leave disgusted with yourself. Because I've had that happen many times. I read the passage. Oh, but I want to ask you, are you growing in your obedience to Christ? Are you growing in your witness to others? Are you growing in the fruit of the Spirit? If not, ask the Father, prune me, Lord, so that I might grow more fully for you. Left to ourselves, we would all remain branches in Christ, but unfruitful because we dig the dirt of the world. And that's a great line. We dig the dirt of this world. We want to be, you know, connected here and there. We want to stand a little bit in the world and a little bit in Christ because that's where our nature comes from. But the Lord is saying that I want you to be fully grafted into me so that your nature changes. I want you to be a spiritual person, a kingdom person, one that has a different mindset than from before. He places us in a relationship with other believers. So we sharpen one another. So we get called on the carpet at times. So we get challenged. I don't like what I'm seeing from you. You know, when your kids get older, they start saying stuff like that. Yeah. They start, the Holy Spirit uses them. Oh, there you go. That's 2 weeks in a row I've knocked that off. So I don't know what's up yet. But they come and the Holy Spirit uses them to bring conviction. And we have other people in our lives. The Word of God, just simply reading the Word of God helps us to be instructed about vine living life. God renews our mind. He talks about that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As we renew our mind, we get a lesson in life in the vine. Hebrews 3:12. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. In other words, continue in the vine. Abide in Him. There was an old gospel song, and I call it a gospel song. I don't know what else you call it, but it was in the Cokesbury hymnal. And we'd sing it, not on Sunday mornings really, we'd sing it on Sunday night. And it used to be a song titled Constantly Abiding. Do you remember that? Constantly abiding. I'm glad you can edit these things out. Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding. And we used to sing that song. And as a little kid, we'd sing the song. And it had a couple of parts on the chorus. And never think that kids don't hear stuff. And I would sing the song, Constantly Abiding. And I would think, what does it mean to constantly abide with the Lord? And I said, it must be something like that pray without ceasing thing Paul was talking about. And I talked to the Lord about this. I said, Lord, how can I constantly abide with you? How can I walk with you? How can you be part of who I am all the time? Not just on Sundays, not just at retreats. How can we be together all the time? And he said, you know, if you let me in, I want to fill your life. And I want you to be connected to me at all times. I didn't understand electronics at the time, but I understand a little bit about electricity. In order to make the clock work or the TV work, you got to plug it in. And you plug it in, and it's constantly connected. Even when the TV is not on, the electricity source is there. And we understand this. And we get it because we mashed, you know, the remote control. In days of old, I was the remote control. Turn the TV, turn the channel. And we understand that when we mash the button, we expect it to come on because it's connected to the source. Are you connected to the source? Well, there are branches that produce no fruit that are cut off, thrown away, but there are branches that produce some fruit. Now, don't confuse quantity and quality because we don't want to just have fruit that looks good. I bought a basket of peaches a couple of years back, Chilton County peaches, off the back of a truck. What could go wrong? And he had that basket of peaches looking good. And they were not cheap. And I bought this basket of peaches, and I was so excited to go home and eat peaches. I love peaches. Anybody else? I love peaches. I went home and pulled some off the top, and the ones right under that top layer were bad. That guy ripped me off. He put the bad peaches here and put a few good ones on top. We go into the grocery store these days and they have navel oranges that are as just as orange as can be. And I get them home and I cut them open and they're okay. I can go to Florida in February and I can get an orange. And the thing is, you know, it's kind of orange, but it's, you know, it's got some green on there. It doesn't look as pretty as the one in the store. But I open it up and it is the most powerful, sweet orange in the world. So what the exterior looks like is not always indicative of what the fruit is on the inside. And we have, a lot of us, tend to really work on being the best presented orange in the produce department. And we look good sitting there. But the question is, do we have the real sweetness of the Lord on the inside? Every branch that does not bear fruit, He prunes so they'll be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of living in the world. A word I have spoken to you, Jesus said. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. What is it that restricts the production of fruit? I'm going to use a four-letter word. Self. It's us. God says, I'm going to produce fruit in you if you remain in me. And so if we don't have a lot of fruit in our life, we have to question our connection to the vine. Not, Lord, what are you doing? But Lord, why am I not connected to the vine? And I promise you, you ask that question, and He will start to prune things out of your life so that you can be fully connected to the vine. Hebrews 12, endure hardship as discipline. God is testing you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. There are also branches that produce abundant fruit. Look at verses 7 and 8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Now notice the promise there. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Great promise. But this is by this my Father is glorified. See, when we get to the place we are asking because we are connected fully to the vine, we ask for God's glory and not our glory. I don't want this just for me. I want it for God's glory. Lord, how can you bring glory to yourself through this? How can you continue to paint the picture of human existence and your story with this? How can you use me? How can I be expendable in order to be part of the story of God and His redemption of the world? Instead of, Lord, it's about me. We use that phrase a lot around our house. It's all about you. It's all about you. And we get that. Friday night, Mary Catherine and Christy and I went out of town and went to a play. And we were going to go eat before this play, but we didn't leave in time. And it was an Italian restaurant. It was in Gadsden, Alabama, highest rated place in town. And the price was right, the whole nine yards. And we were excited. And we got there. And we went into the door and opened the door, and there were people everywhere waiting to be seated. Now, we went to a restaurant two doors down. It's downtown Gadsden, and there was nobody waiting to be seated. We left that restaurant. I said, that was a ripoff. That was no good. And there's a reason everybody was waiting two doors down, and nobody was waiting here. And the fruit becomes evident when we're connected to the vine. A couple verses as we finish this second point here. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified. I have died with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. My seed is dead. Let my seed be planted so that I can live again. John 15:7-8. As we just read, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. This is to my Father's glory. Ask for my Father's glory. Number three, bearing fruit is a lifelong effort. And I put it on the outline, what is my long-term role? We have long-term roles. We are here to bear fruit. We're not here to take up space. We're here to bear fruit for the Lord. We bear fruit for the Lord by instilling things in our children. We're here to bear fruit by ministering to others who need to be ministered to. We bear fruit by proclaiming God's Word, for standing for God's Word. We bear fruit by doing all these things. And your role is simply this. Now, this is the good news. Because if you're like me, I have a Bing Crosby streak of laziness in me. Bing Crosby made a career out of being lazy, right? and I am simply to be a branch. I can do that. And being a branch means that I rest in the Lord. Now, it's not really a lazy thing, but you get the point. I'm hands off. God does all the work. God produces the fruit. I'm just simply to be in the vine. And I think we get this mixed up sometimes. We try to go out and create fruit when what we really need to do is just be connected to the vine and let God work the fruit through us. But the principle that I see for myself is that I am trying to shine fruit that is dying instead of working on being connected fully to the vine. I have no life of myself. I'm not self-originated. My mother's going to have her birthday this week. Bless mom and dad. I'm not self-originating. They came and we had people coming before them. I didn't even bring myself to this world. I just happened to be. And one day I had some consciousness about this thing. How in the world did I get here? Well, I didn't really ask that. But here I am, you know. You know, the Lord had His hand on me from way back when. He knew me before mom and dad even thought about having a child. I have no life of myself. I don't even produce fruit, and I'm not the end product. The fruit is the end product. My existence on this earth is not to be a great Andy. My existence on this earth is to be grafted in the vine so that I produce fruit and the seed gets planted and it continues to grow and grow and grow. And I've done my part about being in this kingdom of God. And one day we'll get to heaven and we'll see what all the fruit has done and we'll see the great harvest. You know, we ought to call it that. You know, we think about the great getting up morning. We ought to say the great harvest day when the harvest is seen fully. The purpose of the grapevine is to produce grapes, not branches. Don't be a dead branch. Be an alive branch with buds. Be an alive branch with fruit. Be an alive branch with much fruit. I play a critical role in God's plan by simply being a great branch that has the juices of the vine flowing through me. As a branch, my purpose is to bear fruit. Fruit is evident of life. And what makes fruit good, as we talked about, it's what is on the inside. And one more thing that makes fruit good. Good fruit produces good seed. You know, we cut open that apple this morning. Who knows where that apple came from? If I had to guess, there's probably something in that apple that I got from some corporate farm somewhere to cause that apple seed not to be real reproductive in nature. You get what I'm saying? They try to dent those seeds so that you can't really use them again. Whereas if you go buy an heirloom seed or if you get an apple seed off a tree that's never had any type of genetic modification, you can get that seed and that seed is uninhibited and ready to grow again. Well, I don't want to have any modified parts of my life. I want my seed to be good. I want my seed to be pleasurable. I want my seed to produce good fruit. I can only bear fruit as I abide in the vine. Now, the word abide is simply this: taking the word in and giving the word out. Taking the word in, giving the word out. Abiding in the vine is an analogy. It's not what we really do, is it? Because we're human beings. How do we abide in Christ? I abide in Christ when I seek Him through His Word. I say, Lord, talk to me, teach me. I lay myself before you. I have quietened the world around me. I want to hear from you. Teach me, Lord. And that is connecting to the vine. And then when He teaches me, I take it and I live it out. That is producing fruit. Receive and give. Receive and give. I want to be soaking up the Word of God. Soaking up the pleasures of being in His presence. But I don't want to just soak it up to be a good branch. I want to have fruit in my life. Take the Word in, live the Word out. Take His instruction in, live it out. Breathe in, breathe out. Receive from Him and grow fruit. As we do that, we'll be in the will of God. What are we to be? Fruit producers. Branches that bear fruit. Lord, may these people be fruit producers so that you can collect the harvest for your glory, not ours. Amen and amen. Let's pray together. Lord, without you, we are as dead as a branch that has been severed from the vine. With you and in you, though, we have the opportunity to continually receive the nutrients necessary to produce fruit. And in producing fruit, we produce many seeds. And we want to be people who abide in you. We are serious, Lord, about our devouring the Word of God. We're serious about our time spent in solitude, in prayer with you. We are serious, Father, about being in constant communication with you, continually praying, receiving, so that we do not let any outside influence disrupt the life that you want to give us so that we produce much fruit. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.